B-Pod Studios.
Felger and Mass.
Little sport dork orgy. So sporty.
Oh, yeah?
So sporty.
Oh, yeah?
Sports and sports and sports.
Oh, yeah?
Sports in your face.
Oh, yeah?
Sports.
Felger and Mass.
Awesome.
Oh, yeah?
98.5. The Sports Hub.
All right. I don't know why I got confused on Joe Barry Carroll in a championship. Maybe I thought he won something and went to Houston. No, that was before Houston got on their run. He did make an All-Star team, though.
Oh, he did make one.
So Joe Barry Carroll, obviously because I looked it up, Joe Barry Carroll made the All-Star team in 1987. So like that heretofore has been the draft day pantsing that the Celtics are known for, trading down for McHale, and, you know, that was that, right?
Right, Barry Carroll for McHale and Parrish.
Right. At least Joe Barry Carroll was an NBA player and made one All-Star team. So for like 5 minutes at least was representative. Markel Fultz. Oh, my God. Oh. So anyway, that happened, but nothing else happened except for Jabari
Bird.
Okay, so that guy's gone, and good riddance, I would say, on that. Otherwise, I think the headline is Davis doesn't go anywhere at the deadline, so Celtics are now in the driver's seat for Anthony Davis if they want him. They are. They
correct,
are.
Correct.
They can outbid anyone.
Yeah, that's right.
So the Celts are now in the driver's seat for Anthony Davis, which leaves out 90% of the story. You know, that's what the Green Teamers will do who want Anthony. Wee, driver's seat. Wee, yes, you are. Leaving out 90% of the story, which is he doesn't want to be here, and it's going to cost you Jason Tatum. So driver's seat. Congratulations. You don't want to be here, and it's going to cost your best young player.
I'll tell you, boy, you know, I know we were saying yesterday it's a big sort of offseason for the Patriots. How big do you think it is for the Celtics? Only the future of the franchise for the next 5-10 years hinges on it, for crying out loud.
And that's one story. The other story is it feels like the way you've been playing, you're finally rounding into form and can, you know, feel like really, really going to run now. Except Philly gets better with a big move, Tobias Harris. Toronto presumably gets better with a big move for Marc Gasol today. And the Bucks presumably get better with another shooter in Mirotić. So those three teams that you're vying with all made moves you did not.
I mean, and all those guys average between 15 and 20 points a game.
So, you know, legit shooters.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, in the case of Harris, he's what Philly needs. And the other two teams basically got big men. Mirotić is a, you know, he's 6'10". But the bottom line is, especially with Gasol in Toronto, where are the Celtics weakest?
Right.
In the middle.
Right.
Right. So, like, I look at it and I say all three of those teams are gunning for you. And so now, like, we've spent a lot of time this year talking about the pressure that has been on Brad Stevens, or that is on Brad Stevens, to have to manage a roster and egos he's never had to handle before. Well, now Ainge is right there with him. These three teams have all improved. You still have the buyout market coming up, and the Celtics have underachieved. And on the horizon, you have Kyrie and Anthony Davis and Jason Tatum all intertwined. I mean, it feels to me like Danny Ainge's ass is on the griddle right there with Brad Stevens.
Okay, so your thoughts. We continue with your reaction. A deadline now has passed. Christian Foxborough. Hi, Christian.
Hey, what's up, guys? So I think we got to give Kyrie a break because, you know, he's got to be objective and subjective when he talks. Just kidding. I think he's a dink. But basically, my question is, do you guys think the Celtics' future predicates on Anthony Davis? Meaning, if we don't get him, is it going to be Tatum and Brown and the young guys going forward for, you know, the next, you know, X amount of years? I'll hang up and listen. Thanks, guys.
Okay. I think a lot of people seem to think so. You think so. Right,
yeah.
Murray, that if they don't get Anthony Davis, Kyrie's gone.
I mean, that's how it feels to me, too. Although, I will say, given the way this league works, I rule out nothing. I mean, how could you rule out anything?
Right.
With the way that league is? But it does feel like Kyrie is, you know, contingent on Anthony Davis.
Yeah, I have to think that conversation has taken place between Ainge management and Irving.
I mean, just let me give you another path, okay? You don't get Davis, you know, and Kyrie bolts, and you're still in it because of this scenario, that Gordon Hayward comes back, okay? He comes back like Paul George has come back. It takes 2 years, but Gordon Hayward comes back. Jason Tatum develops into the guy you think he is, okay? A legit one or two in the league. And then, once Kyrie's off the books, and then Horford is off the books, it's another year, right, Jimmy? He opts in next year, and it's one more year?
Correct.
Depending on what the money is, if you manage your money properly, you've got a max slot. And you can go bring somebody in to play with Gordon Hayward, who is back, and Jason Tatum, who's a legit star. Is that a path?
Yeah. Now, look, again, I don't want to get too much into the cap stuff.
You're sort of resetting. You're sort of going back a step or two to get back there, but I don't know. Does that seem plausible?
It's better. It's not awful. But again, are you good enough to win a championship?
It depends who that piece is. It depends how good Tatum becomes. Maybe.
So I look around the league and I say, well, is Kyrie playing with Durant?
Right. What do the Knicks look like? Does Antetokounmpo make even more of a leap? You know, like.
Yeah, okay, I gotcha.
So this is where you end up in that league is that you look at it and say you're the Indiana Pacers with Roy Hibbert, Lance Stephenson, and Paul George. You get to the conference finals, LeBron beats your ass, and then you disappear and vanish from the planet. Like, remember that Indiana team?
Yeah.
Sure.
They were good.
They were great. And they get their asses kicked. I say kicked, but wiped off the face. They're non-existent now. Like Hibbert at the time, or Roy Hibbert. Roy, where is he? What's he doing?
Yeah,
gone. Just erased from history. And I think you become one of those teams.
Okay, so all this on the board. Jamie in Fitchburg. Hi, Jamie.
What's going on, boys? I got to agree with Jimmy. I think the Celts are porked. Kyrie is going to be gone next year. We're not going to get Davis. And we're just going to be stuck with, you know, that poor guy, Hayward. I mean, it kind of brings a tear to my eye every time I see him out there just watching him suck. It's been brutal. I know he's had the injury, but boy. So I just think we're going to be in a quagmire of suckiness for the next 10 years.
Okay, suckiness is too strong.
That's a brilliant phone call.
Jimmy, see what you've done to people?
Yeah, that's a good phone call right there. Wow, talk about covering all the bases.
I still think there's a path. I'm telling you, though, the people who are just sort of whistling past the graveyard of Kyrie's change of heart last week, I don't get you, people. I don't get you. That was some sort of heel turn there by Kyrie Irving last Friday. I am sorry. He could have helped you a ton by just saying the opposite. Instead, he went the entire other direction. We've had people waiting on the line since we come on for Patriots. I don't want to totally ignore you, so I will go to you now. Brian is in Boston. He's been waiting patiently to give us a Patriots take. Go ahead, Brian. What do you got?
It's B-Money, but I'm going by Brian now.
Oh, what's up, B-Money? How you doing?
What's going on, guys? So I think you guys have complete control over the whole Boston Airways. You guys can say whatever you want. You guys piss us off. You make me want to turn my TV off, but let me get to my point real quick. First and foremost, this year, you know what you were doing with training camp. Brady wasn't there. Gronk wasn't there. You were crucifying them, killing them. They ended up still winning the Super Bowl. My second thing is they face a lot of adversity. A lot of things people are not talking about is Felger and Maz, let me just ask you a quick question. Who is the best team in the NFL this year besides the Patriots? The top two teams you would say right now.
Chiefs and Rams.
And they beat the Rams, and they beat the Chiefs twice. So my kind of thing is, you know, people are so easy, and you guys are so quick to slander the Patriots. And then my next thing is, you know, Maz, you had Brady, the 10th rated quarterback going into the playoffs. Are you kidding me?
I think it was 13th. Yeah, no, I think it was like 13th or 14th. Actually.
Hey, Brian, B, I'm sorry, B. Do you remember where, do you know where he finished among the postseason quarterbacks in passer rating?
6 out of 12.
Right in the middle.
6 out of 12. I let him go.
Oh, all right. So right in the middle. I mean, Brady didn't play great in the postseason. Did they win this championship because of Brady?
I think he helped.
Okay, I'm not saying he hurt.
No, but right, he wasn't the central figure. I agree.
He wasn't.
Well, he was excellent late in Kansas City.
Okay, but again, I'm just giving you the aggregate. He was terrific in the Chargers game, too, because they elected to let him sit back there and pick him apart. But, you know, in the Kansas City game, he basically threw three interceptions.
Yeah.
And in the Super Bowl, he didn't throw a touchdown pass. And his rating was 71, one of three games in his career in the postseason.
No, he was good when he needed to be. He wasn't great. It wasn't like 2014 and just the fourth quarter against Seattle.
Yeah, I'm just telling B Money or whoever else. Don't shove Brady in my face,
Brian,
because he wasn't a big reason they won.
Thanks for the call. I was wrong about the team for sure. And no one in the post analysis, I don't think any of us have cheapened what they did. It's not like they had an easy path. It's not like they had a tomato can. They beat the best teams in football, and they beat them straight up. I think you got some nice breaks in Kansas City, but, you know, that's a game that could have gone either way. And that's as far as I've gone to, sort of diminish what you did because you beat the best teams in football, and you beat them on the road. So, no one's taking away any credit from you. Wayne in Yarmouth, real quick on football.
Yeah, you know, just looking at the difference between the NFC and the AFC over the last 20 years, it's like 14-6 in favor of the AFC in the Super Bowls, and I just was all have been wondering, how would you account for this major discrepancy?
You. Yeah, Tom Brady.
You. It's all you. Otherwise, it's even Steven.
Correct. Like, it totally flips it. It'd be 11-9 if it weren't for the Patriots.
I mean, really?
Yeah. It's the Patriots. It's Brady. That's right. Brady and Belichick.
Okay, coming up next, Kevin Durant had, I thought, a whopper of a post-game press conference last night.
Brilliant.
Wait till you hear this whole thing, and I want to talk about it. We'll do that right after these words.
You're listening to Felger and Bass on 98.5, The Sports Hub. It's Felger and Mazz on 98.5, The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter, at Felger and Mazz.
Hadn't talked for a while. Is it anything to do with anything on your mind, or has it just been coincidence that you haven't talked for some time?
Why do you care?
Because you'd usually talk.
I feel like talking the last couple of days.
It was anything in particular?
No, I just didn't feel like.
Had anything to do with conversation about free agency?
Yeah, that's the conversation you're going to have. I don't think about that type of stuff. That's your job.
So that was the opening of Kevin Durant and his post-game press conference last night after they played. Who the hell did they play?
San Antonio.
After they played in San Antonio. In San Antonio?
Yeah.
Wherever the hell it was. Okay.
I think.
I don't know. So this is Kevin Durant after the game last night, after whoever they played, wherever they played it. I guess he hadn't spoken in the last couple days.
Yeah, it was like 9 days, I believe.
Oh, really? He hadn't spoken to the local media nine or anyone in 9 days. Wow. All right. So then after the Spurs game last night, he agrees to talk to the media, and that's how it starts. And then it got worse. It got worse from there. We're going to roll it in and stop it and start it as we continue. Go ahead, Jimmy.
You've obviously been around the noise for so long. Is it bothering you more this year? Is it louder this year?
It's unnecessary. You got to do Ethan Strauss, who come in here and just give his whole opinion on stuff and make it seem like it's coming from me. So and he just walk around here.
So I don't know who the Ethan Strauss is, but I like the sound of him.
He's the guy who's written the story about his next team is going to be the New York Knicks, and this is where he wants to go in free agency. He's like, you know, the Bay Area Shaughnessy, I believe.
Love him. Yeah. Okay, so I don't know who it is. I'm not familiar with his work, but I like the sound of him.
Frisco Shaughnessy.
if Durant is going to, you know, pitch a fit, not talk for 9 days, and then come out and, you know, do this thing and immediately call out a guy by name, I want that guy. That guy sounds like that's what I'm talking about.
So, I want Durant talking every 9 days.
But this Ethan Strauss, get him on the horn. I want this guy. So anyway, go ahead, Jimmy. I'm sorry.
And he just walk around here. Don't talk to nobody. Just walk in here and survey and then write something like that. And now y'all piling on me because I don't want to talk to y'all about that. I have nothing to do with the Knicks. I don't know who traded Porzingis. They got nothing to do with me. I'm trying to play basketball. Y'all come here every day, ask me about free agency, ask my teammates, my coaches. You rile up the fans about it. Let us play basketball. That's all I'm saying. And now when I don't want to talk to y'all, it's a problem with me. Come on, man. Grow up. Grow up.
Okay, so just stop. I mean, that's tremendous stuff. That's outstanding. I'll give you my thoughts on Durant here in a second, but just the delivery and the material?
The overall bitchiness of the whole thing.
Oh, it's outstanding.
Yeah.
This is great.
These guys to grow up?
Yeah.
Because it's a trade deadline and free agency and people are writing about it.
Yeah, heaven forbid you have to deal with that kind of stuff when you know, this is the burden of being a star player.
Having to deal with this Ethan Strauss. I feel for Durant. Keep going.
Yeah, you grow up. Come on, bro. I come in and go to work every day. I don't cause no problems. I play the right way. Well, I try to play the right way. I try to be the best player I can be every possession. What's the problem? What am I doing to y'all?
We're talking to the media.
So? Who are you? Why do I got to talk to you? Tell me. Is that going to help me do my job better? Nah, bro. I didn't feel like talking.
Okay, so stop.
So I'm with him on that one.
And that's a great point.
Yeah, I'm with him. Like, what? You know, there's no obligation to talk to the media. They want to talk about his future. And now, look, I would say in the same breath that we talk about Kyrie, Durant could put a lot of the speculation to rest.
Sure could.
Right? But again, we all know how it works at the same time. When a guy can go to the market, he's going to, although that league's a little different, but he's got choices. He's got leverage. He's got power. And in that league, it behooves you to go to the market. So I get it. I don't think he owes anybody any answers. So not that, really.
So that piece again.
Not about his future, but his obligation. That's part of the gig of being a professional athlete. You know, you do have to fulfill the media obligations.
Well, no, it is, but no one really cares about it ultimately.
Fine,
sure. If you do your job on the field or the floor.
Yeah.
So he's right about that, but again, ooh, the bitchy tone. It's just so delicious. Keep going.
Kevin, the free agency thing really hadn't been that much of a discussion coming to you because we got it loud and clear, at least most of us should have, that it was off limits. Don't
so
go
what's
there.
What's the problem now?
No, just that you've been quiet and you're not usually quiet. You usually share your opinions and stuff. So everybody's like trying to figure out what's going on. And we're all getting questions from fans like, what's wrong with Kevin? I just tell him he's playing okay, but he's not talking right now.
I just don't trust none of y'all. Every time I say something, it's get twisted up and thrown out in so many different publications. Try to tear me down with my words that I say. So when I don't say nothing, it's a problem. I just want to play ball.
Yeah, well, so I love. First of all, I love the fan voice. Like, hey, what's wrong? Like,
and he's like also accurate with that second part too. Yeah, that's what happens. And if you don't say something, we'll make it up.
Exactly. Yeah. You speak, you're porked. If you don't speak, you're porked.
Yeah, you're porked either way. That's the reality of it. But had Shaughnessy been talking to me, he'd have said, "Yeah, the fans come up to us and go, yeah, Shaughnessy, what's up with Kevin?"
So. I don't know if this is the final exchange or not, but the final exchange makes me laugh. I find is the best because now he's gone 2 full minutes dumping on these guys. You just want to talk about crap. You just want to write about, you know, free agency and the Knicks and putting words in my mouth. And if I talk about it, I'm in trouble. If I don't talk about it, I'm in trouble. All you guys want to talk about is nonsense. I just want to play basketball. I just want to talk about basketball. So the final question the guy asked about basketball. Go ahead, Jimmy.
I just want to play ball. I want to go to the gym and go home. That's all. Is that a problem? All right, then.
Yeah, I mean, how are you playing? How's the team playing in the last couple weeks?
I'm done. You know you don't care about that.
I just asked you.
Wait a minute. You just said you only wanted to talk about basketball and play basketball. So the poor schmuck says, all right, how are you playing? Ah, you don't care about that. I'm out of here.
I mean, why did he clearly just came out to, like, spit in the face of the media, tell them that they suck at their jobs, and then leave.
Oh, my God. That was my favorite part. That's my favorite. He spends 2 minutes ranting about all you want to do is talk about nonsense and not basketball. So the guy says, all right, how are you playing? I said, no, you don't care about that. I'm out of here. Oh, is that brilliant? Okay. But, I mean, how fraudulent, dude.
Oh, wow.
Like, you guys, meaning the NBA players, and I'm not blaming it for this.
No, they want it both ways,
but,
though.
So look, and LeBron had some interesting comments on this that we'll get to as well, that I actually agree with LeBron on. But you guys created this. You created it.
Durant,
you know?
Specifically, if not LeBron, he's the guy who turned the league upside down a couple of summers ago. Where is he going to go? Oh, he's got this house in the Hamptons. Who's courting him? Durant did this. You did this to yourself, dude.
They've turned the whole league into this. They're signing the one-and-ones.
Exactly. You want to quell it? Then sign a long-term deal.
Right. But I don't think they're necessary. I in some respects, you know, I respect the power that they've earned for themselves. I don't know if it's good for the league or not, but... You know, as opposed to any other league, they've created some autonomy, which, you know, the football guys must look at these players and go, God, good job. So I'm not saying it's awful that they've created it, but you did create it. You created it. You're the one that rented the house in the Hamptons and had the 5 teams come in. And, you know, LeBron had the decision, and then he had another decision. And this is what the players wanted. So you get to these deadlines or you get to your free agent years. You've created the frenzy.
Absolutely. I mean, to me, that's the big thing is, look, you know, again, when he left Oklahoma City to go to Golden State, he'd been in the league a while. We all get it. Fine. You get to free agency, you get to make a choice now. You're going to do it every 2 years? And I say 2 years because he's re-upped there a couple of times now with Golden State.
And then you're not allowed to ask about it?
Right. You want it to go away, then sign a long-term deal. It's really that simple. But, you know, and I, again, I don't know all the machinations of the salary cap and the CBA and everything else. So, you know, if this allows him to get more money, then I suppose that's one answer. But once you're talking the kind of dollars that they're talking, it's not about the money. It's about the power. Now, I think it's good for the league. I actually, the idea of them, and I was thinking about this morning, the idea that they keep changing. That's good for the league. Think of how much we have talked about NBA free agency over the last few years.
The fodder. is just...
It's nonstop.
Yeah.
And it also keeps the big markets and everyone engaged. Whether it's New Orleans and Anthony Davis or L.A. with LeBron or New York with Kyrie and Durant, they're all into it. Everybody's into it because no matter how much you suck, just wait 2 years and Durant's a free agent, it can all change. Right? So the idea that it can change like that is a good thing, not a bad thing, I think.
Just in terms of Durant, though, to me, I think he's gone from one of the most easily likable players in that league in the last couple of years to just another whiny a-hole.
What a nozzle. He sounds like such a nozzle.
Hey, look, you wanted to be the big boy. You wanted to go to Golden State and win championships. Now you're there winning them. You don't want the heat that goes with it?
But you're going to sign a one-on-one, and you're not going to – you're a free agent every other year. Like, what are you supposed to do?
Correct.
Like, good Lord. So, anyway, your reaction to that and the trade deadline today, right after Murray's update. There are a bunch of moves in the East, a bunch of moves that affect the Celtics. The details right here in the update, then we're back.
Felger and Maz. Making sense of Boston sports.
There's no catching and no throwing. Anyone can play, no matter how hopelessly unathletic they are.
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Y'all, let us play basketball. That's all I'm saying. And now when I don't want to talk to y'all, it's a problem with me. Come on, man. Grow up. Yeah, you, grow up. Come on, bro. I come in and go to work every day. I don't cause no problems. I play the right way. Well, I try to play the right way. I try to be the best player I can be every possession. What's the problem? What am I doing to y'all?
It really is. All-timer. Tremendous sound. Ralphie and the Kevin Durant again last night. Ralphie in the car, your thoughts.
What's up, boys? Great show today. Listen, I'm all for the players having the leverage they have now, but you can't have it both ways, dude. Like, this guy is such a fraud. He's the one that needs to grow up. He's a professional athlete. It comes with the territory. It's what's keeping that league relevant, even though we know who's going to win every year. You want to ball and go back home? Like, dude, go sign up at the Y. Like, can you imagine what the New York media? Like, can you imagine what the New York media would do to the sensitive Sally? They're going to have a field day with him if he goes over there. Thank you.
Thanks, Ralphie, for the call. It's a good point. He wants to go to the Knicks and carry on like this? You imagine what those guys are going to do to him? Yeah.
Excuse me, Kevin. You said that you wanted to sign a 1-1. Why is it our fault now that we are asking you about free agency?
Oh, they'll follow his ass home there.
Oh,
I mean,
God,
forget about
will they
it.
Ever. Seriously. They're taking pictures of A-Rod outside Madonna's apartment. What do you think they're going to do to you?
But it is so true. I mean, they created this thing. And it's been, I mean.
He's mad his spot's getting blown up. This is where he's going. He wants to be ahead of the story. He wants to control the narrative. He can't. This is why he's mad. It's the same guy who fessed up to having burner accounts. He trashed his former team. You remember this?
Right? No, I forgot about this.
Yeah. Yeah, he went on to Twitter under a pseudonym and trashed the Oklahoma City Thunder and Billy Donovan, I believe, at the time when he was still the coach there. And then he got caught and he was like, yeah, it was me. I woke up in a haze.
Tremendous.
I mean, it's unbelievable, these guys. Really, they want it both ways. They want the adulation. They don't want any of the scrutiny or criticism that goes with it.
We've got Sam in Walpole with a thought on what the Celts will do with Anthony Davis this offseason. Go ahead, Sam.
Hey, guys. Just wanted to hear your thoughts on this theory that Ainge was just floating Tatum's name around so the Pelicans would hold off on trading AD to the Lakers, and that this summer Ainge will push harder to trade Brown instead of Tatum.
100%, Sam.
It's exactly what he'll do.
100%. Bait and switch. No question about it, which is why I've told the Pelicans, be careful, man. If you think you're getting Tatum, think again. Right? Well, if Davis ain't going to commit, you're not getting Tatum. Don't take that cheese. But it behooves the Celtics to throw that out there. Yeah. Everyone's available. Yeah, we'll talk about everybody. And then they get there and they say, yeah, well, we'll talk about Tatum, but ultimately, no, we can't do that. But you want to talk about him, fine. But no, here's Brown and Smart and, you know, a protected fur. You know, so I fully expect Ainge to pull out the rug from them this offseason.
No, that's exactly what he'll do. The only question is whether or not New Orleans will go for it. Right? Because, they should still be able to get out of the Lakers or whoever else what they were going
to
get.
I'm telling you. I think to beat the Lakers' offer, you're going to have to include Tatum.
Agreed.
I do. Your picks are better than the Lakers, but not much better now with the way Sacramento's gone.
So maybe Ainge tries to make a deal now where he can give him something else.
Right, he's absolutely going to do that.
Right.
He's absolutely. He's going to try and beat the Lakers' offer without Tatum. I just don't know if he can do it. Dana in Abington. Hi, Dana.
How you doing? So if you watch the game between the Pelicans and the Celtics earlier this season, Kyrie didn't play, but – post-game, you see Kyrie go up to AD, and I swear, if you look at the body language, it appears like AD wants nothing to do with talking to him or hugging him or anything like that. He just keeps brushing him off. It's pretty funny. You got to watch that clip.
Well, the whole thing's felt like a brush-off. I mean, the whole optics have been AD's brushing you off, and Kyrie's brushing off the Celtics now. I mean, that's how the whole that's been the body language here for a while. So maybe that's not the fait accompli, or they're not as tight as we gave it credit for.
Wait, so did he just say Kyrie tries to go up to him?
Yeah,
but in the there was a story from Jackie McMullen just last week that said that they literally talk every day on the phone or text back and forth every single day.
Okay, well, that's what I'm saying. Maybe that's overblown. I don't know. I mean,
or maybe Anthony Davis didn't want to give anybody any fuel.
So it was an act.
Right. Like, who the hell knows?
But look, I mean, the folks who are reporting it from the Celtics side, I mean, I've told you, I've run into this. I ran into it on TV last night. Jackie's kind of part of this world. I mean, the Celtics are really confident and optimistic, as usual. As usual. It's a very confident.
It's a charmed life.
It's a confident and optimistic existence in the Celtics world. So, yeah, Kevin Garnett's not hurt. He'll be fine. And, yeah, Shaquille O'Neal's going to come back. That foot's just fine or whatever it was. That's a minor injury. And last year, Kyrie's day-to-day, man. There's nothing to see here. And, listen, don't read into the fact that Anthony Davis hired LeBron's agent. This is just the agent putting words in his mouth, and it's the agent saying he really wants to come here. And don't listen to Kyrie. That doesn't mean anything, what he said last Friday when he told us all to go F ourselves. He didn't really mean it. He was just reacting to the pressures of the NBA. This is what the Celtics put out there, and I think a lot of people just buy it hook, line, and sinker. And that's just that's been going on for a long time.
The drama in that league is unreal.
Anthony in Connecticut. Go ahead, Anthony.
Hey, how you doing, man? I was just thinking that, you know, the Celtics fans are definitely delusional. I mean, they overvalue Jaylen Brown like he's somebody. They didn't want to trade for him for Kawhi. And now they're trying to, like, post him up like he's some great all-star. He's nowhere near what you guys want him to be. And
I'm sorry. Who's not who we want him to be?
Jalen Brown.
Jalen Brown. I don't think
– Jalen Brown is way overrated. You guys value him like he's, like, a number one or a number two on the team. And he's a bench player. And you guys are trying to post him up like he's worthy to be traded one for one or whatever, like – I don't think so. And as far as Gordon Hayward, I feel like you guys are way overpaid for him. He's basically Kurt Heinrich. So I'll leave you with that.
Okay, babe. So Maz, you know, told me something off the air that is scary.
I mean, I looked it up a little while ago. This year, he's the sixth highest paid player in the league. Sixth highest paid player in the league.
What's he averaging this year? Like 11 points a game?
30. He's making – oh, points, yeah. He's making $31 million a year this year.
Oh, God.
Yeah. So I mean, look at that.
But what? Are you telling me it goes down?
No, it goes up.
Yeah.
No, it goes up, but other guys go up too. So, look, that's a preposterous statistic. For that guy, he doesn't even look like a sixth man. He looks like a tenth man.
Okay, I mentioned before, Durant, we're talking about, you know, his thoughts last night. I thought LeBron actually made a good point last night and today, in fact. We want to get to that right after this in our long commercial-free segment.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Ooh, I like this.
This is Felger and Mass.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sports Hub. The Sports Hub. Sports Hub.
No, it's not that they. It's hard for them to understand the two sides. They understand the one side. They understand the one side where, you know, if a guy gets traded or if a guy gets waived or if a guy gets released or cut or whatever, then, you know, it was the better, it's for the best of the franchise, which I agree. I mean, teams have to do what's best for their franchise to set them up for the near future or for the present. But at the same time, players have that ability to do as well. And if a player asks to be traded because he feel like it's for the better of his profession or for the better of his career, or if a player decides he's a free agent and he wants to leave, then that should be the same conversation. That should be the same narrative, and not that this guy or this kid or whatever the case may be is selfish or ungrateful or, you know, he didn't appreciate where he was from or appreciate what he got. I think you do what's best for your franchise. You do what's best for your career. Because at the end of the day, we only have so many years to play the game, and you want to try to maximize it as much as possible. So I like it on both sides. I mean...
So that's LeBron James last night. I'm sorry, today in Boston. Okay, just now, over across the street. We're at Hurricanes, by the way, at the Garden. That was LeBron at the shoot-around this morning. And following up on an Instagram post that he had last night. Where it was Harrison Barnes that got traded in the middle of the game?
Correct. Yeah, Dallas.
Okay, so he got traded in the middle of the game. And, you know, I mean, he just said it there, but I'll reiterate. This was his Instagram post. So let me guess. This is cool because they had the right to do what was best for the franchise, right? Traded this man while he was literally playing in the game and had zero idea. Now, that's subsequently it's come out that Barnes knew before the game. I don't know. I guess that's been disputed. But anyway, okay. I'm not knocking who traded him, writes LeBron, because it's a business and you have to do what you feel is best. But I just want this narrative to start to get real change, and not when a player wants to be traded or leaves a franchise that he's a selfish, ungrateful player. But when they trade you, release you, waive you, et cetera, et cetera, it's best for them. I'm okay with both. He says, honestly, truly I am. Just call a spade a spade. And I think he's absolutely right. You know, the teams act in their best interest. And, well, just that. They act in their best interest, what's best for the team. And if that means dumping a player in the middle of a game or at any point that's best for the team, they will do it. And no one rips on the team for doing it. But yet when a player acts in his own self-interest, it's like, you know, he's, and look, I'm guilty of this too. He's ring chasing. He's, you know, he's taking the easy path, or he's leaving the team high and dry, or, you know, that the player's the bad guy. And I think LeBron's got a good point.
He is. Well, on that part of it, he's right. Okay, that part of it, he's right. What he's saying is a double standard. Okay, but first of all, let's state the obvious. Teams are loyal to the laundry, right?
Okay.
So they're always going to be interested in what is better for the team. And when a player leaves, he's going to get ripped. It's the laundry. It's not personal. Okay, that's one thing. Here's the other thing, and I think this is where I think LeBron misses it. Is it about player versus team or player versus owner, you know, executive, whatever? Or is it about people getting agitated who's got the power? Because I think it's about who's got the power.
Well, yes.
So if you have the power and you make a move that's unpopular, you're going to get shredded for it.
For some reason, the fans hold the money against the player in all sports, but not against the owner. They look at a bad contract and say, you make what? You make what? Gordon Hayward, you make $31 million and you're doing this. But no one says, you just banked $50 million, Wick. You know, what? Like, so they hold the money against the player, but not the owner. I don't know why.
Well, because 99.99999% of us work for someone. That's why. Because, you know, we all sort of accept that as reality. And, you know, you don't get the choice. But what I'm saying is, you know, LeBron says, well, you know, you kill the player. What about the team that makes a move that's unpopular? Do they get criticized? Do we criticize Bill Belichick
Definitely.
For Logan Mankins?
Definitely.
Like, I look at that and say, or, you know, you don't think the Philadelphia 76ers are getting killed right now for Markelle Fultz?
Oh, my God.
Like, so I just think I don't think it's just about player versus team. And that's what, because LeBron's right. You know, you should be able to make a decision that's best for you. But I also think he's not totally seeing it the way, at least the way I see it. Like, you know, it's about who's got the power. And if you use that power aggressively and people deem that to be going over the line, or they'll find a hole in it.
So, but I do, well, I think LeBron is right and Durant was sort of full of crap. It all comes from the same place, which is LeBron and Durant specifically created this modern climate. They created the new NBA with this player movement. And they're pushing back at the coverage of it when it's their doing. They're the ones that do it. They're the ones that are opting out. They're the ones that are signing the one-on-ones. They're the ones that are holding decisions and free agent, you know, meets at their Hampton house. Like, they're the ones that have created this entire climate. And now they're sitting here going, well, this is unfair the way you're treating it. Well, no, you're the one that did it. You're the one that did it.
Exactly right. So, like, you know, on the one hand, what? LeBron wants to be celebrated as the greatest basketball player of all time. And on the other, he wants to be able to change teams and have nobody bat an eye. Is that what he wants?
Yeah, pretty much.
Like, that's just
what it sounds like.
That's not realistic.
Yeah, it just doesn't, yeah.
It's not realistic. When you are as big as you are, LeBron, or even Durant, and you change places, do you know how many people are affected by that? Like, I think they lose sight of that.
All right, let's continue to discuss this and everything from trade deadline day today. Bradley in Pittsfield. What do you got, Bradley?
Yeah, hey, guys, thanks. So, I mean, how do we know Kyrie is the, you know, the anchor that's going to, you know, get us a championship? I mean, you know, I mean, I think they played better when he's not on the court. I mean, they went to game 7 last year, you know, against Cleveland. I mean, I think
Bradley, you don't think Kyrie's a top 10 player?
Yeah, I mean, he's a star. There's no question, but he's got a little bit of an attitude. I think
Well, Bradley, just let me stop you.
That's the NBA.
Maz, you want to go off on this again?
Yeah, look, I would say look at Kyrie, and I will draw a distinction between him at certain times versus others. Look at him in the last 8 games he's played or whatever it is. You're telling me he's not making people better right now? Now, look, I think you're seeing some growth in Kyrie. I think you're starting to see maybe he's starting to understand what it means to be a leader on the floor during the games. But the idea that they're a better team without him is asinine. It is completely, utterly asinine.
On paper, it is. On the floor, the record would tell you that they're the same team, if not a little better without him. Okay? I'm not telling you they are. I'm just telling you, in the caller's defense, we looked last year, they had a better record without him than with him. Okay? And that was the whole year. That wasn't a small sample, including the playoffs, where they went to Game 7, fourth quarter of Game 7 of the East Finals, without him. And at the end of the day, they had a better record without him than with him. I don't know what it is this year. We can look that up quickly. On the floor, that's sort of... just in the caller's defense, I'm just telling you.
Okay,
yeah. And so, the argument to that is, okay, so look at crunch time, or at least the second half of Game 7 against Cleveland. How'd Rozier shoot? How'd Brown shoot? There was no closer to be had.
Yeah,
that's why you need Kyrie Irving.
I blame the coach for allowing the ball to go away from Tatum last year in Game 7. Tatum
that's part of it, too.
Was your best player, and, you know, Skippy Magoo there wanted to spread the ball, and now the next thing you know, you got Rozier and Smart chucking threes.
See, people make this mistake, though. It's not about the one-loss record. It's about watch the game on the floor, and watch it in the final 2 minutes when somebody absolutely positively has to make a shot. Or get their own shot, more importantly. And I go back to the game that Toronto played here not too long ago. Let's start there. Kyrie at the end of that game? Name me another guy in the Celtics that can do what he did at the end of that game. Tatum, maybe, and I'm not sure he's even there yet. Kyrie's on a planet unto himself. Let's not be stupid about it. Ability-wise, he's got more than everybody else.
Okay, so we got some next hour. We'll follow up on some baseball rule change thoughts that we hit on yesterday. We'll follow up on some Super Bowl thoughts that we started yesterday. I'll continue with your NBA trade deadline calls right off the top of the hour. The very latest, again, a lot of teams in the East made moves. You did not. Murray with the details here. 90 seconds, no commercials, and we're right back.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.